Hi, welcome to the Kentish Lifelong Learning Educators Matter Sessions. Today I'm speaking to Stuart Davidson about how to change a child's belief system. Welcome, Stuart.
Hi. Perhaps I should explain first that most kids that come into care have fairly thick, rigid thinking on their beliefs. They believe that whatever has happened to them is their fault.
Right. So they accept responsibility for their situation.
So it may have had nothing to do with the child, but they believe it's their fault, that there's something wrong with them. So they're always in a situation of fear and fret. Now, when something happens to a child and it gets their attention, they immediately move in a square situation from the corner of one square to the corner of the next square. And that next square brings in all the bad memories and all the behaviours and views they've had from the past. And they usually respond to that part by reacting aggressively or shouting or stomping their
feet. So what's worked for them in the past, they repeat.
Yeah. Now, obviously, what works in the past doesn't always work in the future.
No.
Or in the present. But they interpret the threat from their memory system, which tends to remember bad memories.
Yes.
Because that keeps you safe. Now, the educator's job in breaking this system in is, first of all, they've got to get the kid to relax and be calm. And obviously, when the kid's upset, they can't relax and calm themselves down quickly. So the educator has to operate as an external brain.
Okay. So how do they do that?
The educator breathes slowly and smiles at the kid. And when they're connecting with the kid with their eye contact, the kid will naturally go into the same breathing speed as the educator. Then the educator suggests to the kid that there might be other options to this problem. Because for every problem, there's usually a component in the problem that the kid needs to know. For instance, if they don't want to go to school,
yes,
that's a nice general term. I don't want to go to school, or I hate school. But there is a reason for that. It may be that they don't understand what's happening at school and they're getting behind the eight ball in terms of learning and the other kids are laughing at them, or they might feel that because they're not functioning well at school, that they're a failure completely as a person. So the educator has to be aware of that and break
down. How do they do that?
They break down the problem by identifying what it is about the school.
What specifically?
And when they've worked that out, they then help the kid work out some solutions. Now, it may be that the child thinks the teacher is not helping them, and the child hasn't got the strength yet to talk to the teacher. So the educator may have to go to the teacher and explain that the teacher has to spend a lot more time with this kid and work on it. Or it might be that the school has to change a little bit of the classroom structure so the kid doesn't feel that they're failing.
Isolated, right, and failing. Okay, so that would be then that when they do say things like, I don't want to go to school, then the educator then can sense that that's an agitated state that the child's in, and then through questioning, slowing down the breathing, smiling, engaging, making eye contact with the child, and asking questions to really clarify what specifically at school.
Yeah. Now, as human beings, we have parts of our brain that relate to other human beings. We call them mirror neurons. And if you can get your mirror neurons to be calm in your brain, it transmits to the kid.
Okay.
So, and you can also use your mirror neurons to tell when the kid's getting agitated before the child actually understands it's happening. So you do that by eye contact and observing the body language. And your brain puts that into context and you say, this kid needs help.
Okay. And so that's an interesting thing, because we would see that often with children, even in a shopping centre, we could see a child that's quite agitated, and you're saying that our mirror neurons are going, oh, that child is, and so our former experiences are identifying that child's distressed or in need of help.
We've had mirror neurons forever, but it's only recently in the decade of the brain that we had the technology to actually discover them. But a mirror neuron allows an adult to sense before the child has got an emotion that that emotion is coming.
Okay, that's great.
And that's kept us as a survival mode.
Yes.
As human beings. So once you get, you realise that the kid has got themselves into an emotional state, you're trying to calm them down by breathing, you talk to them about options, because you're the, you become the brain there until they calm down and their brain can come in.
Think for yours. Itself, yeah, okay.
And you look at all the options, you identify what it is about the problem, you look at solutions, and then you accept one solution for that day, because the solution for today might be a different solution for tomorrow.
Sure, okay. And it's getting, and then getting the child to see that that solution's the best outcome, yeah, for the day.
Now then the child will respond, and they may, but they won't have reacted. Reaction is when they feel frightened and they take over, they do something. Responding is feel frightened, think about it for a minute, then respond. So you move from the first, the second corner to the third corner,
yes,
where you think about it, and then you move to the final corner where you take some action.
Okay.
Now the educator may have to be involved in that process if it's a school issue or a behaviour issue that the kid doesn't have the wherewithal to deal with.
Sure, sure. So just to repeat those quadrants again, that they start in a...
Something gets your attention.
So the child, and the child looks agitated.
Yeah, they move to a threat situation.
Yeah, and traditionally, if they don't change their reaction there, they'll flight, they'll take off, they'll hit someone, potentially, yeah, could hit someone because they're basing that on previous
and they'll go straight to the
previous experience.
Fourth quadrant. So you want to move them from the second quadrant to the third, where they change the breathing, they calm down, they use some of your brain and some of their brain till they're starting to make a rational
decision.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, in terms of rationality, a lot of kids can't do rational thinking.
No.
Because they're operating from a feeling side of the brain. But if they trust you and feel secure about you, then they're going to follow suggestions that you might make, because you've got their trust in them.
So that's a really interesting point, that for educators with new children, it takes time to build that trust,
sure,
but to persevere with that, because eventually an educator can actually really work to change that child's belief system, because they realise that they've suggested one thing to them once, say on Monday, about school, and then Wednesday, as you say, it might be an alternate. But because the child knows that it worked on Monday, they're potentially going to be more trusting. And as the trust, yep, is built, then you really start to change the child's, yep, belief system.
There's no doubt at all that security and trust is the basis of all relationships. And a lot of these children have got no relationships, really. There's no depth in their relationships, which is why they've got such rigid belief systems. Because it's kept them safe.
Sure, that's a survival, yes, yes.
Now, the other thing is that when you go through this process of getting trust, the kid will initially pull back because they're frightened of being vulnerable. And they might say things like, I hate you, when really what they're saying is, I'm getting so connected to you, it scares the shit out of me.
I'm afraid, yes.
So I'm backing off. And you have to be aware of that and look behind the words at the behaviour, and that's where you use your mirror neurons and your knowledge as a human being.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Stuart, for today's session. I know we're going to be continuing this with with more of the Educator Matters sessions in the next couple of days. So thank you very much. Educators, we hope you've enjoyed this one today, and certainly just gives you some strategy for when you get those, I don't want to go to school and I hate you, how to move them from where they are to just changing that belief system. Thanks, Stuart.
Cool.